Well, good morning, Hillcrest, and happy Mother's Day to our mothers out there. We are in our second week of our Called series, and if you were not aware, it's a Called series. That's what all these phones hanging down are, emphasizing that we are called to something. Now, we worked very, very hard to make sure that every seat in here was the screen was interrupted by a phone. So is anybody looking at the screen and there's nothing in the way? Just a couple up front. We need to fix this, Jacob. Interruptions for the front row at least, too. So everybody has to have a phone in the view of the screen. Called to care is what we talked about last week. Today, we're going to talk about generosity. Being generous people is part of what God has called us to do. And I want to do something a little bit different in this message. At the end, I want to leave some time for Q&A. But I know that giving is such a personal and private thing. It's hard. We have questions and we don't know who to ask. So I want to answer them, but I know it's difficult for you to ask them. You don't want to raise your hand and do that. So here's what we're going to do. I created a Google phone number that is going to go to my phone. So you text your question to that number, and it's going to come right here to this phone, in which at the end I will be able to read those texts and answer your questions, okay? So no one will know who you are. You'll just send those in, and I'll take some time at the end to answer them. Any question about giving? This number is not going to be up all during the service. So if you are going to want to do this, you might want to jot it down on your program or on a piece of paper. I will show it at the end while doing Q&A, but it might be too late by then to get your question in, depending on how many come in. But that's the number that you would send your text to, and I will take a look at those at the end. So, if I was to ask you the question, are you a generous person? Do you feel that you're generous? If we're called to generosity, are you generous? Business Insider put together their list of the top 20 most generous people historically in what they have given. And I wanted to show you the top five of that top 20 list and see if you would agree. Number one, philanthropist, giver, to date, Bill Gates has given away $35 billion. Wow. That is a staggering amount of money. Second place, you know who that person might be? It's Warren Buffett, yeah. Really close behind with $30.7 billion because he's only like about $4 billion off, which is just chump change for these guys. Let's see. Third place is a guy named Li Ka-shing. He's given away $10.7 billion. To get to your fourth place giver, you have to actually have to go back in history a little bit. Anybody know who this guy is? Very good, Aaron. Andrew Carnegie. Yeah, you got to go back in history. $9.5 billion. Now, that is, of course, in today's, you know, like considering when he gave to what today's funds would couple or equal that with. And the last one I'll show you, the fifth one, is a guy named Azim. And I don't really know how to pronounce his last name, but I think you would pronounce it Premji. That's a ring a bell for any of you? I mean, God, this fifth biggest giver. I don't even know who this guy is. But yeah, he's given away $8 billion. How generous are you? Okay, so if you had to answer that question, I'm not going to ask you to answer it out loud here, but if you had to answer the question, how generous are you, how would you even answer that question? And maybe the follow-up question to that would be, in what ways or how are you generous? These top five, in fact, really the top 20, their two biggest areas of giving are in healthcare and education. So that's really the big ones. But if you are a generous person, are you or are you not? And if you are, how are you generous or what are you generous in? It's important to kind of ask. Hillcrest is a church that is not a big church, but the people that attend Hillcrest are very different from most people that attend other churches. Hillcrest is filled with people who get it, who know what it means to be a follower of Christ and act out on that that responsibility or that calling. I have never been so privileged in my life than to be able to pastor, to shepherd, and to be able to teach a group like this, that I learn from you as much, if not more, than you would ever learn from me. You are a congregation that gets it. And when it comes to what you accomplish in the community and in ministry, I would put the efforts and the results of Hillcrest up against any church in Sioux Falls, regardless of the size. And I guarantee Hillcrest is doing more for the kingdom. And I'm not talking per capita. I mean, just flat out, apples for apples than any church in Sioux Falls, any church in South Dakota. Now, I'm not saying that to be prideful. I'm not saying that just to pat you on the back. But I think you need to hear that you are doing well. We can always do better, of course, but you guys are nailing it when it comes to what you do for the kingdom, the way when a call goes out and how you respond, the way you are loving each other. This church is not fighting. There are not, you know, like these issues that so many churches have. There is a love for one another, and there is a love for the community, and there is a movement towards that love. It is such a privilege to be a part of this group. And I want to give you just some raw data statistics. I'm a data nut, and I asked Pastor Brian for some numbers, and I thought they were going to take him weeks to crunch it down, but when I get excited about numbers, Pastor Brian gets excited about numbers, and about a half hour, he had numbers for me. Over the past 12 years, you know how much Hillcrest has given away? I mean, given away, this is like to charities and nonprofits and ministries, like just giving away to people. In the last 12 years, Hillcrest has given away $1,075,279. Over $1 million. Hillcrest has literally given away. And now you hear that number, and I don't know if that impresses you or that shocks you, or you know, you say, man, that's a lot, or what you think when you hear that number. But the national average for churches with their giving, so as money comes into a church and all the ways that it comes, a church then gives to different organizations and ministries and that sort of thing. The national average is 4% of their annual budget goes to these things. And churches that are rocking it give 6%. So the national average, 4, the best of the best are giving 6. Over the last 12 years, Hillcrest has on average been giving out of their budget every single year over 20% of the budget. These kinds of things just aren't heard of. These aren't things that other churches are even possible or capable to do. But out of your generosity, your understanding that we are called to be generous people, that we are called to care. Next week we're going to talk about that we are called to serve. I kind of feel like as I'm writing these messages, like it's like preaching to the choir, right? I mean, you guys get this. But I want to encourage you in this, and I want to say great job. And I personally, as well as even Vaughn in that video, and each one of you, we all have areas we can grow in all of these. But you are doing well. And I am so proud of you. I am humbled to be able to be in this position and be a part of a congregation like this that just totally and completely gets it. But generosity is such a tough thing for so many people to come by. Hillcrest has been giving to issues like adoption and poverty and our public schools and the children and the teachers there and children through other kinds of things, and whether we are digging wells in South Sudan or doing relief projects or building a high school in Otoro, Ethiopia. We have been very, very busy about the way that we're giving and what we're doing and the fruit of that gift that we give. But generosity is not normal for us as people, not at all. When we grow up, one of the first words that we learn is the word mine, right? Mine. I think of those seagulls on, was it Finding Nemo? Mine, 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 mine. It's how, you know, that's kind of how we are. We learn this is mine. We are born as selfish people. We are born as people who want to take and who want to possess and who want to keep. And part of our Christian faith is learning to let go and be generous, and to give of that which has been already given to us. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, It says, since you excel in so many ways, and I mean, I just totally think this verse is written for Hillcrest, okay? You excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love for from us. I want you to excel also in gracious acts of giving. And Paul is saying here, like, you guys are rocking it, and as you rock it in all these things, I want you to rock it in your generosity too. Did you know that the last spiritual discipline for people is giving? I mean, people will commit to and start praying. They will commit to reading their Bible. They will commit to going to church. They will commit to being in a small group. They'll commit to just about anything. The last thing people do in their spiritual growth, spiritual development, spiritual maturity is give. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road. That's where you really say, it's not mine, it's his. It's not me, it's God. And when you catch the benefit and the gift and the glory of giving, it becomes intoxicating. You can't help but be a giver once you discover and really try out what it means to be a giver in the world. And that's why God says, like, I want you to give, like, excel in this, because you're rocking it in so many ways. And so we need to be givers. Sometimes when I sit down with people and I, you know, we're talking about various things, and giving sometimes comes up. I don't bring it up, but people will bring it up. I think sometimes they feel guilty about it sometimes. I'm not always sure why we're talking about it, but they'll generally talk about all the ways that they give, but it's never financial, right? I give my time, I give my this, I get, you know. And I don't want to discount that because it's all super important, but that's called to serve, okay? We're going to talk about that next week. Called to give, that is a financial gift. We're to give of our finances, of what God has given us, we give a portion back. And so today I want to talk very clearly and very specifically about giving. But people, I mean, believe it or not, people don't like to hear about giving. They don't want to hear a message about giving. Most people have a very bad taste about a church that does a message about giving. Here at Hillcrest, this is my 8th message that I'm giving on giving. You go, holy smokes, Pastor, like 8, like what, you just beat this thing in the ground? 8 messages out of 1,000. Over 20 years, I've given 8. I do not like talking about giving, really for one real main reason. It's offensive to a lot of people. Because we are in a society in which the Christian community and the parachurch organization, or the, you know, the other Christian organizations, many of them spiritually manipulate you to give. They coerce you. They say, if you give, it will be given back to you tenfold. If you give, you'll be healed. If you give, you go to heaven, or your loved one goes to heaven. If you give, and all these promises that are made. You watch television, and these television evangelists are just begging you to give and beating you over the head with it. And because of this, the manipulation that happens, the television programs where it's a hunger thing, but it's just so overdone. It just doesn't seem to be the integrity there needs to be. People have a bad taste about this in society. So I'm fully aware of that. I know that. So I want to make a couple promises to you as we talk about giving, okay? Here's my promises to you. Promise number one, no one is going to ask you to give today. No one, okay? That's off the table. Second, no one's going to coerce you today. No one. That's off the table too. Thirdly, if you do not give to Hillcrest, you will not be seen as a second-class citizen, because no one around here knows whether you give or don't give. You know, the small group leaders and the people handing out bulletins and people running around, even our leadership are not aware of who's giving and who's not giving. You are not a second-class citizen in any way, shape, or form. No one would know that, because it's between you and God, which is really the 4th promise I give to you, is that it will be a private issue between you and God, not between you and me or you and anyone else. That stays private. Now, there's a small caveat to that, which doesn't include many of you sitting out here. The caveat to that is that with our staff and with our leadership council, our elders, there is accountability there. So we have those conversations internally, because we feel it's very important that we lead in what we're teaching. And so our leaders, our staff, there's an expectation of giving there, and we do have those conversations, and they can be uncomfortable, but that's where that conversation happens. So know that. If you want to be on staff here or you want to step into a leadership role, those are on the table for discussion, but it's in that context of us leading by example and showing that spiritual maturity along the way. But for everyone else, no, we're not going to have those discussions. It's between you and God. Fifth, if you don't give, I want you to know you can still go to heaven. If you never gave $1 to the church, you can still go to heaven. Not only can you still go to heaven, but you can still be healed and you can still get rich. Okay? And lastly, I promise you that Hillcrest does not need your money and Hillcrest does not want your money. Let me just say that again, because probably you're not used to hearing something like that. Hillcrest doesn't need your money, and we don't want it. Some of you are like, sweet. I want to say that because we don't focus on this. This isn't an importance of ours. That's why I just don't give messages on giving, because I don't want it to be seen like we're trying to coerce you or trying to get something from you. If you feel that we're trying to do that, please hold on to your money and go give it somewhere that's worthy. Because we're not going to do that, and if you think we're doing that, you just hang on to your money, because we don't want it, we don't need it. We will use whatever God brings our way, and we will do ministry with those funds, okay? Those are my promises. Now, I know even as I say that, some of you are saying, well, I don't believe some of those. Well, I'm going to have to let my lack of teaching on this, as well as the history of Hillcrest for these last 12 and even 20 years, be my evidence of it. But I want to give you a couple of reasons why people don't give. Because people give for certain reasons, they don't give for other reasons. I think the number one reason, I'm going to give you four of them, but the number one reason is people don't give because they are uneducated. When I say uneducated, I don't mean they didn't go to school. I mean they're not educated about giving. It's kind of a Midwest nice way of saying ignorant. Okay? They just don't know what the Bible teaches about giving and what giving is supposed to be. So I want to just simplify it as best as I possibly can. Throughout the scriptures, you see the word tithe. A tithe means 10%. And the example in scripture is that we give 10% of what we receive financially. It's supposed to come off the top. It's the first thing. We give 10%. That's what Vaughn was talking about in the video. We give 10% of that. That is a tithe. The tithe goes to the local church. It doesn't go, in other words, if you give to other things, that's wonderful. That's called an offering. There's tithes and offerings. A tithe is 10% to the local church. If you give to the VFW, if you give to the Billy Graham Association, if you give to Adams Thermal Foundation, if you give to, I don't know what it might be, those are offerings. That's different than the 10%. Scripturally, we give a tithe, 10%, to the local church, and then we have offerings that are over and above that. Now, I could spend the entire time talking about and working through all of that, but it is just not any more complicated than that. Tithe, 10% to the local church. And the second reason why people don't want to give is probably what some people are thinking as I gave the education for why to give, is people do not give because they deny that they should. Like, well, I don't want to, or I reject that it's supposed to be a tithe, 10%, because a tithe, that's Old Testament, Pastor Doug. Jesus never talked about a tithe. Giving is such an important subject in the scriptures. We have to go by some kind of guide. And there are people that say, well, you know, God never said anything about that you have to give this or have to give that, or that the tithe was in the Old Testament, but we don't see that in the New Testament. It seems like the people that are concerned about whether a tithe is biblical or not are not saying that because they want to get the Bible right. It's because they don't want to give. Right? It's not like the person that argues whether it's a tithe is even giving 5% or 10%. Or maybe they're giving 20. They're like, shouldn't be a tithe. It should be a double tithe or whatever. It's generally out of a selfish heart that says, I don't want to give. And so there's dozens of organizations and belief systems that you can jump on reasons not to give, but those individuals are not giving. And those that do come to church, I always find it fascinating that they come and they receive what the church has, but they never contribute to it. But you can't ignore that the Bible talks about giving over 2,000 verses on giving. You can't ignore that Jesus, in his parables, 34 parables, 17 of them were focused on giving. It was a huge issue. I'm going to read a story to you in just a minute about how Jesus praises a woman who gave 100% tithe. She gave everything that she had, and that's the one he praised. In the Old Testament, it talks about a tithe, but you know there were three different tithes that they gave? So it really was like 30% of their income. But people that deny that they should are not denying out of a biblical stance or position, but just out of a heart that doesn't want to give. In Malachi, there's a really powerful verse that reminds us that God does not miss the fact that we don't give. He says, should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? Well, you have cheated me of tithes and offerings due me, and you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. And I tell you, if we were a people that said, I am willing to give and trust that God will pour out through that gift. National average for churches, when you say what percentage of people's income do they tithe, national average is about 2%, meaning that churches could be doing five times more than they're currently doing if people caught the idea of a tithe. Five more wells could be dug in South Sudan. Five more churches could be built in a place like Otoro, Ethiopia. Five more whatever churches are a part of. Thinking of the staff and the ministries and all the things that are going on. God says, if you would do this, there would be a store. You could not store it. It would be such a tremendous gift. And it's what the church is using to make an impact in the world around us. Been from the very beginning that the resources that God gives others, that they take the first 10% and they give that as a way to show their love for what God has given them, their respect for that, to also communicate that they are not going to be selfish with what they have, that what they have comes from God, and they let go of some of that. Which really gets us to our third item, is that people don't give because they are selfish. Man, I know this is super negative, right? To call people selfish. We live in a society that just spurs this in us. Materialism, right? I mean, we want what we can't afford, and everybody's got a way that we can get it. We are in debt, credit cards, no payments until whenever, zero interest until whenever, whatever it takes to get you to make the purchase that you cannot afford. We want and we take and we're selfish. And to think of giving away money that we so desperately need to buy all these things that we want, it seems ridiculous for most people. And if you are in debt, how could you ever give? Because there's no money left over anytime, because it's all going out to these payments for the things that we couldn't afford in the first place. And we don't give because we do have a selfish attitude of I want for me, and I want to take care of me first. And if there's anything left over at the end, that's maybe when I would give. The book of Proverbs says that the borrower is slave to the lender. That as you borrow, you become a slave to that person that you borrowed it from. This is never so obvious than when you borrow money from a family member and then all of you sit around the Thanksgiving dinner table together, right? I mean, the relationship changed. All of a sudden, you are sitting with your lender. You can't even sit around the table and talk about some cool thing you bought, right? Because they're going to judge you because you owe them money. Yeah, it changes the relationships. So this is the point where Jesus tells this really cool story of something that he observes. Mark chapter 12 says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched the crowds drop in their money. These temple boxes were actually designed and created in a way that as the money would fall in, which was coin that they had, that it would hit various places in there and it would make this chimey, clanky sound. It was to accentuate the sound of the money falling in to bolster the individual who was giving. So as you put it in, the more music you can make with that box, the better. So people would stand around and watch this, and Jesus is too. He's standing around watching them drop their money in these boxes. And it says, many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. They were called mites. They were teeny tiny copper coins. Two of them didn't quite equal a penny, and she would drop those in. You can imagine the amazing sound that made in this box. Tink is about all it probably did. And he called the disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything that she has to live on. Jesus is never about the amount that you give. It's about the heart that gave it. And for this poor widow, she gave 100% of what she had, which was hardly worth a penny. And Jesus said, that is far more valuable than the piles that went in, because for the people that put the piles in, it was out of their surplus. It wasn't even a sacrifice for them. So it has nothing to do with the amount that goes in. That's why I can confidently say with Hillcrest that we are not looking for your gift, nor do we need your gift, because we trust that whatever God gives us, we will do our ministry with that. And it's not about who gives the most, but for God, it's the heart of the giver. And our gifts should be sacrificial. Our gifts should be something that means I'm not selfish because I'm giving. And that's why God set that 10%. It's just a great benchmark to say that comes off first before anything else. That's how we are to give, and that's how we are supposed to give. So people don't give because they're selfish. And the last one is that people do not prepare to give. Because if you don't financially plan to give, you will not be able to give. If you don't have a budget, and just every month you just pay for whatever you pay for, and then you decide you're going to give off of the surplus, whatever's left over at the end, will there ever be anything left over? And there never is. There's nothing ever left over in my budget. My goodness, I mean, you get down and there's something that looks like it's going to be left over. We figure out how to spend that. But you have to budget. You have to prepare. You pay for the things that are important to you that you value. Most people don't get to the end of the month and say, oh, dang, I knew I forgot something, food. Now, you figure that out early on. You pay for your food. Actually, a recent study came out that said that a larger and larger percentage of Americans are willing to forego their budget money for food so they can make their cell phone bill. Wow. Chew on that. So we have to make a choice to be able to give, a choice that we make. One of the things that a lot of people have found very helpful is something that helps them give on a regular basis so they don't forget or so that it doesn't slip by. My family, what we do is we give online. So when the offering plate comes by, I don't drop a penny in that thing. And you probably look, you know, I'm sure all of you are watching what I'm giving, right? And you're like, oh my goodness, Pastor Doug doesn't give anything in the plate. We give on the 1st and 15th of every month. Go to the Hillcrest website. We click on the giving thing, and we set up 10% of our income for giving, half on the 1st, half on the 15th. And whether we're, you know, whether there's a snowstorm, whether we're on vacation, whether we come to church or not, I mean, I tend to come to church, I mean, pretty often. But if I did happen to miss, I wouldn't miss the giving, you know? And so it's just consistent for us. And right now, we have almost 40% of our givers at Hillcrest are giving in this way, with like an automatic kind of giving so that they don't forget. But it's choosing ahead of time what I'm going to give, budgeting for that, and then making sure that we follow through with that. So people don't prepare to give, and that's for one reason why they don't. The plate comes by, and they're like, oh, shoot. You know, they open up their wallet, and they throw in, like, you know, a half-used Starbucks card, which we appreciate, by the way, when that does come through. But faithful giving is important. As Christians, we are called to be generous. And giving is not optional for us. It demonstrates our willingness to surrender what we have to God. It shows that we recognize that what we have does come from God. It helps us not to be selfish in what we have. I think Vaughn's testimony is so powerful that a lot of people will say, well, I'm in debt, so I'm not going to give. Okay, I kind of get that. If you were eating rice and beans and everything was going to your debt so that you could free up your money so you can give. But it's usually not the case. We usually don't give, but yet we still pamper ourselves with all kinds of things. And the problem is when you're not giving while you're trying to get out of debt, you have an unhealthy relationship with your money. So I encourage people to even give as they're getting out of debt because it helps you realize it is not yours and you still have a sacrificial attitude toward the funds that you have in giving those for the sake of the work of the kingdom and what God's doing in the church and being a part of what that is. And the arguments against giving, they just never come from a generous heart. They come from a heart that is selfish, that doesn't want to give. There are many examples of giving coercion in the church and in the Christian community, but just because that exists out there and that spiritual manipulation for giving is out there does not mean that you shouldn't give. It probably means you should not give to those churches or those organizations, but we should still be givers. God tells us that the first 10% is what we are to give back to him. Leviticus 27:30, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether from grain or fields or fruit from trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart for him as holy. That's what we set apart for God. So, Q&A. Let's go to a little bit of Q&A, see if you guys had any questions. Dang, okay. This question was probably asked a little earlier on, but God asked us to give 10% to the church, and if you're going through a financial struggle and you can't give the full 10%, is it better to give what you can comfortably or not give at all? Again, it's really up to you. I think that giving, even though it may not be the full tithe that you would want to give, that giving something at least removes or helps you tap into that non-selfish attitude toward your giving and realizing that what you have still does come from God and you still are to participate, even though maybe you've made a mess of your finances. So, I would say that would still be something I would encourage someone to give in that, even though they can't give the full amount. Another question, do we need to pool all our resources like the early Christians? So the early Christians took care of each other's needs. The third Sunday of every month, we take a special offering. So it's not a tithe. It's a special offering. We call a benevolent offering for the under-resourced in our community. And so that offering goes to help people in all those situations. So yes, I think in some ways we do pool our money together. We do that through our tithe, but we also do that in this benevolent fund to really meet tangible needs because we have people that, you know, they can't pay their electric bill. Think of like even right now, a big thing that's going on in our church right now is, and I don't want to get too personal with their situation, but Bill and Lori Lewis. You know, and Bill's got cancer. He just had brain surgery. He can't work right now. He also works as our janitor. And for the next 2 weeks, we've got people that are pitching in and doing his job. Hillcrest is still going to pay Bill his salary for the janitorial work. And if Bill has financial needs as a result of this, this church, I know, will come together. And we have funds that we set aside through that benevolent to be able to help Bill and his family. So, yeah, we do pull together and are able to, help in that way. This is a big popular one. Is 10% from your gross or net income? Just give, I guess. The Bible says 10% off the top. And is the top before or after taxes? Do you know? It's before your taxes. The government has really figured out how to get in there before you. But technically, you get paid, and then you pay your taxes. It's just that the government wants to be so sure that they get it, they grab it before it even makes it into your hands. But whatever your employer pays you, that amount, we pay 10% on that, then we pay our taxes, and then we pay our mortgage, and we pay our food, and we buy braces for our kids. But the 10% is the first thing. But if you want to argue that, I'm not sure the heart condition for why you want to argue that, but if you want to do it after, well, okay, are you doing that? That's fine too. So either way, I think is fine, the way it's lined up, it would be an after kind of a thing. Yeah, how do you give your kids visibility into your giving when you're not writing checks? How do they understand that? We talk about it with our kids. Probably the biggest thing is for all of our children, they tithe. So when they got their allowance, they take 10% off the top of that. As my kids work jobs, they get a paycheck and they take 10% of that. They set it aside, and then they put it in the plate. They put it in with their name on it, put it, you know, and then even as they're working like actual jobs, they actually have a tax write-off at the end of the year, which is silly because kids don't make enough to even have to pay taxes. But still, it's on their tax form. So they know that they're givers 10%. So it's just the way that we do life. It's up to you how you do that, but I think it's important to talk to your kids about that and the choices that you're making. A couple more here. This morning, kind of an interesting thing took place. Someone here at Hillcrest, I'm not going to say who it was, but I can tell by the question, was over at the gas station today inviting someone to church, and as multiple times invited that person to come to church. That person asked to be prayed for, and he agreed to do that. And then all of a sudden, somebody else ran up to him and said, hey, can you put this in the offering plate today? Someone who doesn't go to our church. Like, can you put this in your collection box? And as he was telling me the story today, he said, I felt really weird about that. But see, this is that person's, like, they're wanting to connect. They're wanting to help out in some way. And so just strange, like even some stranger wants to help out with what's happening at Hillcrest for whatever reason, because of the passion they see in this person. They know what this person is up to, or maybe they hear things that Hillcrest is a part of. So let's see. I'll do one more. Is it possible to have a debt card swipe during the offering to pass around? No. But you can actually order them, can you not, Pastor Brian? They actually make them, yeah, with a swiper right there on there. Yeah, that's a little silly. I do remember hearing one evangelistic preacher who he was trying to get people to give, and he said, even if you don't have money, get out your credit card and just put it on the credit card. And he said, you've got so much junk on that card. You've got vacations, and you've got eating out. He says, you need to get a little Jesus on that card. No, you don't. Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. You know, debt is one of those things. And I know we use debit cards, and that's probably pretty easy for you to do it that way. But you can use your debit card to sign up for online giving, and you can just give that way. You can do it one time, or you can set it up for reoccurring as well. And that's worked for us and our family. So giving. It's a sensitive subject. This is message number 9. Jacob.